Hi, I'm Alec.
I'm Batman.
We're the Pedgy Brothers.
And this is StoryTap,
where my brother and I try to tap the potential of an idea by turning it into a story. This episode,
Matt Reeves's The Batman. Seven meets The Dark Knight meets True Detective. This one's pretty dark, I'm not gonna lie.
So what we did last episode with the Muppets Maltese Chicken was we took someone else's IP and then we tailor-made a story that we thought would synergize really well with it, which is not what we normally do. Normally, we come up with just like a plot device or a character and then build something entirely around that. That's not our formula. Do you want to keep doing the more story break-esque formula?
How rude would it be if I just said no? As he's clearly trying to lead me towards this, and we've agreed on it beforehand. Yeah, 100%. That sounds fun. And I think that we should do this for a little while.
All right.
I don't think it should become a regular thing, but I do want to keep at this for a few weeks, because I think we can have some fun with it.
Okay, great, because that works out so well, because...
Wow, how unplanned was this?
Because earlier, I got an email from the Warner Brothers.
The Warner Brothers, who
yes.
have been dead for decades?
Exactly.
Amazing.
And they said, Eric, we love the podcast, but we are in a crisis. You're familiar with The Batman 2022? Well, some reviews from an advanced screening have just dropped, and the consensus is it's great, and it's darker, and it's grittier than any other Batman. But they said, Eric, the movie's not done. In fact, it's not even started. Literally, all you've seen in the trailers, that's it. These advanced reviews, they're fake. We need you and your brother to come up with, and then they said it. They said a heater of an idea for the new Batman starring Robert Pattinson and Andy Serkis and that third guy.
All right. Feel like, did you Google who that third guy is?
No, I didn't. I did no research beforehand. I literally only looked up the advanced reviews.
Okay.
Whatever we come up with has to be in line with the trailer.
It's dark, it's gritty, it's a less perfect, all-knowing kind of Batman.
Exactly.
Got it.
So, let's do a little bit of research, and I'll edit this bit out. We're going to watch the trailer, and we'll be right back. So, we just watched the trailer again, we got a feel for it, and we're literally going off of that, the IMDb cast list, and the advanced reviews that, or at least the ones I have, screenshots of from Twitter.
Yeah, I didn't read them. I don't do any real work.
Yeah. And it looks like the Twitter says, quote, the Batman movie is a horror movie. Very graphic, very dark, very scary. Paul Dano is effing crazy, so effing scary. I loved every second. And then, closing opinion, quote, there's a scene at the end that literally had everyone screaming. Everyone gasped like it was big no way for everyone. I don't give an F about Batman or DC, and even I clenched onto my knee and was shook. It's the biggest mix drop. And then there's a microphone, so I assume that is supposed to say mic drop. And then there's another tweet that mentioned it had the Batmobile in it. So, our restrictions. It's gotta be dark. It's gotta be Matt Reeves style. Matt Reeves, he did Cloverfield and the new Planet of the Apes movies, but Cloverfield is probably going to be more conducive to our little investigation, and it has to be in line with these tweets, and it has to include almost everyone in the cast list, and I'm seeing Robert Pattinson, Andy Serkis, Paul Dano, Colin Farrell, what? And Jeffrey Wright, and Zoe Kravitz. Those are going to be the major ones. Mm. That's Batman / Bruce Wayne, spoiler. Alfred Pennyworth, that's Andy Serkis. Paul Dano is... Well, that spoils the movie for you, maybe. Light spoilers, maybe.
Speculative spoilers.
Speculative spoilers. We might be predicting the Batman plot here, but adventure at your own risk. Paul Dano as Edward Nashton, and Colin Farrell as Oswald Cobblepot, and Jeffrey Wright as James Gordon. Jeffrey Wright was the second best part of Westworld, in my opinion. He was Bernard.
After Anthony Hopkins?
Yes, exactly.
There you go.
And Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman. Now, those are the major ones. There's, you know, people like Carmine Falcone. There's District Attorney Gil Coulson. I don't even know who that is. But for the most part...
Listen, if they don't wear a funny hat or have, like, disfiguring scars and run around on the street saying weird puns, I don't really care about them.
Okay, so I imagine from what we saw in the trailer, that villain voice was definitely, this is the speculative spoiler, I'm almost entirely convinced that was Paul Dano with, like, a voice modulator. And I really hope Paul Dano isn't the twist villain, because his name is Edward Nashton, and I think they're setting him up to be the Riddler.
Yeah.
Just from what I saw in the trailer.
Right.
And the fact that I looked at the cast list and his name is Edward, and so...
That's not something you can sneak past a bunch of people who are, like, as obsessive as Batman fans.
Yeah. But that's all we have to go on. And what I noticed in the trailer was there was the Batmobile, and he was working with the cops. We can play with that a little bit. Maybe he starts out against them, maybe he starts out with them, and then we go from one to the other. But we have to get every little bit that was in the trailer makes sense to happen in our movie. You dig?
Yeah, okay.
Cool. So this is also our first time doing a what I would consider a dark, gritty mystery movie, unless you count Among Us, which I don't, because that was just like an experiment.
Yeah, Changeling was, let's say that was a warm-up. And this is our first time working specifically in that area.
Yeah, we have a lot more restrictions than usual.
That's true. And you know that thing that people say that you hate because it's dumb? Restrictions breed creativity.
Yeah, sure. They breed creativity, not good stories.
That's a good point. Okay, so, but we dug ourselves this stupid hole, so let's lie down in it and see if it's deep enough to be a grave.
Dang.
While we're being gritty.
So this world is not like what the average person, not what they would really consider Gotham City. It's even darker and claustrophobic. I'm getting more of a Seven vibe than anything else.
Yeah.
And what made Seven so good, I saw this in a video essay, this isn't just off the dome, was the killer, his killings and everything he had going on was symbolically part of his greater philosophy. It wasn't just mindless, like, oh, well, I killed another guy, catch me if you can, kind of thing. The seven deadly sins and corruption went all the way to the top. People suck, but we should hold ourselves to a higher standard, but in a very morbid and gross kind of lens.
Yeah.
So, I'm imagining the twist villain is the serial killer who is the Riddler.
Right.
Not Edward Nygma, Edward Nashton.
Totally different.
Yeah. And he needs to appear to be a good guy the whole time. I don't want this to be a generic, boring red herring where you think it's Cobblepot, and then boom, it's not at the very end.
Well, I know that in the Gotham series that I was going to say nobody liked, I'm sure some people like it, he was like a forensic tech.
Oh, he was, wasn't he?
Yep.
Okay, that could be so. Oh, he could be manipulating the narrative behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the forensics team looking for himself.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This is part of the boring part of crafting a mystery. You craft it backwards.
Exactly. Like, you're thinking, all right, what do we find out? And, all right, how do we get there, and how does that person pull the strings and hide stuff?
Okay, but now that we've figured that out, we can do it the fun way and go from beginning to end. So, we have to introduce this new Gotham. This ain't your granddaddy's Gotham. This is dark. This is gross.
This is gross. And I do think the Riddler being within the investigation lends itself well to him having a philosophy that's driving all of this, that's driving his actions, that the Riddler is trying to have a specific result from all of this. Because I mean, like, what's the Riddler's philosophy? It's rooted in, like, his narcissism, but he has this belief that knowledge and truth are the most important thing.
That's true.
And that in the trailer there's clearly this implication of, like, this objection to lies, no more lies.
That's pretty stellar. Though it is a bit self-conflicting in that he is, you know, lying about who he is. Should we go with the whole split personality thing? He doesn't know he's chasing himself?
No. I think that this is stronger if the Riddler is playing a game. To him, it's not about, I'm not lying for my own benefit. I'm lying to expose them.
Yes, that's an excellent philosophy. Thinking you're above your own sort of way of thinking. That's so good.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah, that's great. So he's okay with lying because he's the bad guy.
Yeah, and the intention is that, like, at the end of this, everyone will know everything.
So who is he going after? Should he be going after the Gotham elite, the rich people?
I think that it has to be more targeted than that. It has to be because Batman is part of it. And I think it has to be about hypocrisy.
Mm.
I think it has to be about something that Commissioner Gordon and, like, maybe the mayor and Batman have done or glossed over or failed to sufficiently condemn.
I've got it.
He's got it.
I've got it.
This happens.
Snaps.
Snaps.
The Riddler has found out and is trying to expose the Court of Owls. And he's unsure. The reason he's leaving behind letters and stuff to Batman, to Commissioner Gordon, he knows they're very by the book, the truth must come to light kind of guys.
Mm.
And he's hoping they're his best bet to help expose the Court of Owls to all of Gotham. So that way, we get a sort of progression, a sort of escalation throughout the movie. First, the Riddler kills somebody, leaves behind a riddle. Batman is like, I have to catch who did this. I am not talking like that. My voice is already on thin ice.
Yeah.
Batman is like, I have to catch this guy who killed this person. Doesn't matter who he killed or why, he's a bad guy. Gotta get him. And they fail to. Second guy, more eyes are on it, more media coverage. And then Batman is like, maybe this guy is more organized than I thought, not just some superstitious coward.
Yeah, this wasn't some one-off nut attack.
And so he finds a sort of breadcrumb trail to the Court of Owls, and they left that breadcrumb trail for him to find. And then he corners them, and he's like, what's going on? Who are you? And they're like, we are the secret, we are the invisible hand of Gotham.
Yeah.
We want you to find the Riddler.
For those of you who are not big Batman fans, the Court of Owls is this underground secret society that controls all of the things that happen, like all of the crime and the financial decisions and stuff in Gotham City. And since Gotham City is like one of the biggest cities in America, that sort of means they exert this huge power all over the world.
All right, this is so good. And it ends with the Riddler being stopped, but maybe Batman having stooped to a new low of working with criminals. And just because they're the rich elite doing things, quote unquote, for the great of all mankind kind of criminals, he had an easier time justifying it to himself. But he's like, I've done something I promised I'd never do. I worked with the criminals. And so it's a setup for a sequel of like, now I'm coming for you.
Yeah. I think that, honestly, I also think that integrates Oswald Cobblepot in very well, because the bird thing.
I like that.
Yeah. It's that I am Oswald Cobblepot. I was the most bird-like member of the Gotham elite. I am put forward as a sort of ambassador because we haven't decided which actor we want to hire to play the Talon, our elite assassin, just yet.
This is so good. Oh, I love
probably
this.
Like Daniel Craig or somebody.
So we got the philosophy, and obviously since our protagonist is Batman, we don't have to think about his philosophy at all. He's Batman.
Yeah,
he's Batman. Doing good is a choice, and you must always choose to do good.
Right, but we've got sort of these dueling villain mentalities of like the revelation of truth by any means, up to and including violent crime, and it's like control information, control what people believe, and you can control the world.
Yes, exactly. This is really good.
This is so great.
So we got a sort of end game. We know where we're going. We know where we're... Actually, we don't know where we're starting. We know how we get there. We know where we're going, but we don't know where we're starting. How do we start? What is the state of Gotham at the beginning?
I feel like we join the story in progress. I don't think we have time to, like, start the story with Bruce Wayne dons the cape to become Batman.
Oh, for sure.
No, yeah, this has to be, like, Batman has been on the scene for some time, but it's relatively early days.
Yes, and you know how we can introduce his origin story without having it play out in real time in the movie is it can be a recursive sort of narration through flashbacks because in the trailer, the Riddler says, you're a part of this. And Batman's like, how am I a part of this? And he's like, I'll show you. And that can be like the reveal. The Court of Owls killed your parents, Bruce. And there we go. The Riddler knows who Batman is right there. But, oh man, this is so cool. Yeah. I love Batman. This is going to be my favorite podcast episode far and away.
I understand that. Yeah, Eric really loves Batman, if you haven't picked up on that. I love Batman too, but not almost as much as you do.
Oh, it's so really love good.
Okay.
Anyway. Okay, so the state of things is Batman is already Batman. He is an established character. Gotham knows about Batman.
Yeah, like maybe
they know that he's real. Maybe they know that there's some sort of superstition that the criminals believe to be Batman.
Yeah.
But they know about him.
Right. I don't think that, like, Batman is established as the Batman, but there's like, it's this guy, like this thing. And some people are like, there's this monster that comes and beats up criminals.
Exactly. And is he working with the cops already at that point? I feel like it could be another more escalation if he isn't. And then that first victim sort of forces Batman and the cops to work together.
I think it's stronger if, like, this is an escalation. Like, this is, for the cops, this is, like, a new reality. And they need to escalate things. They need to collaborate. They need to, fun with irony, call back to The Dark Knight, is that they are pushed to turn to a man that they don't fully understand to help them.
That's good.
Duality.
This is so cool. Okay, that's good. That's good. So how do we begin everything? I feel like since we have more characters we're forced to introduce than we're used to, maybe Cobblepot should be involved right from the get-go rather than introducing himself as plot progression.
Right. I think that's good. I suppose, I think it makes a lot of sense for Oswald Cobblepot to be like the third intended victim.
Okay, cool.
Bruce and Oswald Cobblepot are acquainted since they're both, you know, members of wealthy Gotham families. And, you know, Bruce thinks of Cobblepot as this, as a creep, but as probably, like, a probably harmless creep.
Right. Okay, let's say Cobblepot has just recently been appointed as, not the mayor, but something specific to the city?
Yeah,
where,
like,
he's, like, on a council or something or
he's
other?
He's in charge of, like, the some very fancy social club.
Exactly.
Now he's been... like the committee to beautify Gotham.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And the other people on that committee are definitely on the Court of Owls.
Right.
And two of them, it's a committee of like, I don't know, three people. And the first two are the first two victims of the Riddler. And mm-hmm. Cobblepot's like, he's coming after me. And then that's sort of the twist, unexpected, is like Batman is like, he's most definitely coming after you. He protects him. And then someone totally different gets it.
Right.
Cool.
Okay.
Okay, so very beginning introduction should be, it really gives you a feel of how Gotham is nowadays. I would prefer through the eyes of either the average person or the average criminal.
Something that works well with that is we have that scene in the rain.
Oh yeah, where he beats the absolute hell out of that first guy with like a sort of skull painted on his face.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, and I think that is a reflection of like the direction that Gotham is moving in, and the Riddler emerging represents like this culmination of it. It's like the what's been coming has broken through.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's like criminal, like street thugs in face makeup, like pulling some sort of robbery or like going after somebody. It's a hint of what's to come. And then you find that the thing that is fighting against what's coming is already here. So, you know, Batman makes short work of these guys. Batman is more than enough to take on street crime with a clown flavor.
That's good.
And then he goes home and he speaks with Alfred and it's like, hello, Master Bruce, are you still a sad boy? And he's like, yes, but I'm less sad because I'm protecting the people of Gotham from the other people of Gotham.
And I just remembered another tweet. The movie is 3 hours long. So we do have time to do a lot of stuff.
We got a lot of time to do a lot of stuff.
So we can have multiple, I think they're called pinch points. That's a new buzzword I just learned in the writing world. That's basically like the character moments in between the big changes in acts. So we have that first sort of scene establishing everything. And maybe we have a B plot scene of a character being killed by the Riddler.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, it's a horror movie. It's spooky. It's like a dude alone in his very big house.
Right.
And then a shadow moves and then you just sort of piece it together. Like, this guy got axed.
And you see the guy wandering around and there's some hints and he's led to a spooky and kind of gross death.
Word.
He's the guy who I think.
And that'll be the first the Batman and the police come to. And maybe that's where we get a little taste. That's the that's not quite the inciting incident. And we can afford to have extra stuff in that first act because the movie's so long.
Right.
That's the first thing that happens, but it might feel like an inciting incident. But it's actually just more of the first act establishing how things are.
Yeah.
Batman gets to the crime scene, finds the body, does his deal. Then the cops get there and they chase Batman off and they don't quite catch him.
Yeah. I think that's, I was going to say, and that kind of works with the scene in the rain, but that also works with the, with like finding this first crime. And I think that, first of all, I think that first crime is that that guy, I think the implication is that he has been knocked out and then suffocated with duct tape. I think that there's great symbolism there, is that if like that guy is like a prominent polluter, his business puts a lot of CO2 into the Gotham atmosphere. It's like he's, that's it. He's been choked. He's that's been choked good. By his own. Yeah, because I love a little dark symbolism.
That's so good. And Batman can find that out on his investigation when he finds the body. And he expects the cops to put that information out in the press conference that we saw in the trailer. And then they don't.
Right. I think one more thing that can happen that just helps move things along and sort of explains in that extended first act where Gotham is at, is Batman fleeing, being stopped by a police officer, and then just the dude lowering his gun and running along and saying, like, he's not in here.
Oh, because that's pretty good.
Because that represents, that's another thing. It's like, it shows where things are headed.
Yeah, that's really good.
It's like, that is, that it just shows that, like, this is a feeling, is that there's a feeling in Gotham PD that Batman is on the side of good.
That's really good. And then before the Riddler kills again and we go after that second body, we have the press conference, and that's how we introduce Alfred, like you mentioned a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
Is there chilling in Batman's like, yo, look at the news. They're about to mention that he did all this awful stuff and that's why he was murdered. And then they don't. And then he's like, well, regardless, I'm going after the guy who murdered him.
Right.
Second body, that's the one with the letter that's right. Like calling out Batman, and it acknowledges the leaving out of the pollution stuff in the first one. So who's right. The second victim? And the inciting incident is not too clear, because maybe it should be that second body and the cops and Batman, and the cops like calling Batman, and you know, maybe the bat signal is that simple. Yeah, this is
the advent of the bat signal, I was going to say. And I'm like, maybe it is too on the nose, but who cares? It's a Batman movie. Yeah. How many billionaires do you know in bulletproof armor who have like 3 black belts?
That's pretty cool. I feel like we're rushing it too much, though, to go straight from first act to first body to news conference to second body.
Well, then I feel like there's a natural beat between the first body and the second body, like this element to look at. It's like, we've seen a lot of Batman. Let's see some of Bruce Wayne, which, I mean, I think a lot of people think Bruce Wayne is the person that Batman pretends to be.
Ooh, you know what? Okay, a little retroactive, mm-hmm. So it might be a little boring. But the characters we haven't put in so far, Catwoman and Oswald Cobblepot.
Right.
They can represent two really awful mindsets when it comes to doing good.
Okay, yeah.
And that is the, I'm not going to go above and beyond the call of duty. I'm keeping my head down. I'm looking after me. Catwoman can represent, because she is, you know, like a pickpocket, a thief. That's her whole deal.
Yeah.
She can represent like the average citizen who is like, when I see a guy collapse on the street, I'm not going to see if he's okay. I don't want to be late to work. And then there's Oswald Cobblepot, and I'm calling you out, the Jeff Bezoses of the world.
Mm.
And this would be the average person's mindset. I don't really blame too many people. If you become a billionaire, you tell yourself you'd do good, you'd save the world. But in the Limitless TV show, he's like, no, I can't save the world. I don't have quite enough money yet.
Yeah.
Okay, so those two mindsets. And this is how it's a little retroactive. Batman goes to the crime scene, runs into Catwoman there. We get a kick-ass fight scene.
Yep.
And then they sort of both figure out what's going on, and Catwoman is like, oh yeah, I'm sure there's some evidence in this room to condemn the guy for polluting illegally and all that stuff, but I gotta go. And Batman's like, you should stay and do good stuff. And she's like, nah, I don't want to be late for illegal work.
Yeah, I am. that was good. That was a good callback. But it was like, I am literally here to steal.
Exactly. Looking after herself.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. And I like that. I like that. I always like when villains aren't represented as like, I regret nothing and I'm doing nefarious evil. It's like the Penguin is like, this is the order of things, and once the Court of Owls has enough money, we will take care of the entire world.
So Penguin is on the Court of Owls now?
I thought we'd already established that he was, but
you know. Oh, okay.
Okay, but no.
Sorry, I misunderstood you earlier then.
It's
good if he is. It's better if he is.
Yeah. I don't think he should be like a high ranking member because I feel like the Penguin is often portrayed. You know what? Here's something I want to address. The Penguin is often portrayed as sort of like a bumbling character. Not necessarily like stupid, but kind of clumsy and unlucky.
Yeah, and I don't like that.
Okay.
What could be his like major flaw, and this is the idea I had a second ago, is his narcissism. He is recruited into the Court of Owls prematurely so that he can be used as bait as the third guy that the Riddler goes after.
I do like that. And that is sort of what's going on. That is what happens either between this first scene that we have where Batman's fighting clown thugs in the rain and the discovery of the first body. Is this social scene. Oswald Cobblepot has been selected to join the committee to head up the committee to feed the orphans of Gotham or whatever. Something, you know, those things that rich people do that looks like, that have names that imply that they help, but we don't really understand how.
Right.
They write some checks and then we don't really know how much good that shit does.
Exactly. This is good stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Right,
so,
and then Cobblepot is like, wah, Bruce, wah, I remember our schoolboy days.
Exactly. And that way, his narcissism gets the best of him. And, you know, the Court of Owls is a super secret clandestine society. And he's like, yo, you're in the Billionaires Boys Club, Bruce. I'm going to let you in on a secret. I'm in the Court of Owls. And Bruce has to play dumb. He's like, what's that? And he's like, oh, of course you wouldn't know. That's how Bruce/Batman figures out. He doesn't figure out Batman investigating stuff. Like, he figures it out because he's rich and white. So, to get the structure a little more organized in my mind, what is the inciting incident of the Dark Knight? Is it when the Joker doesn't rob the bank?
No,
obviously.
That is actually first act stuff.
Exactly. People
it's
think
exciting,
that it, but is it when he introduces himself to the mob meeting? In that, like, kitchen sort of area?
I think it might not be until he kills that copycat. The Batman copycat.
I was gonna say, I think it's when he kills the Batman copycat. And what is... That doesn't happen for what? Like, 40, 50 minutes in?
Yeah, I mean, it's a long movie. It's, what? It's almost 3 hours, isn't it?
Okay, so we should make the inciting incident that second body. We're basically copying The Dark Knight, now that I realize
it. Yeah, but but by beats, not by content.
Exactly. So, yeah, what
you
think is the
inciting
incident?
You know how you can tell? You know how you can tell it's the inciting incident?
It's right in your face. Oh, that was so scary. I love it.
I just imagined it and I jumped.
Yeah. So what you would expect to be the inciting incident is when that first Riddler body shows up. But no, that's just more first act stuff. That's really ingraining in your head the idea. The Riddler kind of has a point. We are keeping secrets from the public and it is detrimental to everyone.
Yeah.
And then the real inciting incident is that second body. That second person winds up dead, and we might come up with some sort of symbolic way for him to be killed.
Yeah, he was a... There are some very legal and legitimate, but shady and unethical business practices. We can just pick one out of a hat.
Yeah, true.
It's like, oh, he carves up businesses, the Riddler carves him up. The end.
Yeah, or, well, that's not really the point of the podcast, is to come up with those things. It's more to come up with the beats.
Speak for yourself. I'm kidding.
So that second body shows up. Maybe what forces the police is not necessarily, oh, it happened again. We don't want it to happen a third time. It's more, this one was a lot more visually gruesome. And the public, like the media already has a little wind of it. And so the chief has put his best man on it. Commissioner Gordon. He's commissioner. He is the guy in charge, I think. Mm-hmm. So that's the commissioner making the call. Like, the bureaucrats said I couldn't do the investigation my way, but now they say I can because the media has attention of it and I can do whatever I want. I'm calling Batman.
Right.
And then he makes the bat signal. How does he get Batman's attention?
I don't know. Like, I think the idea would be that Batman is already there. I think there's an opportunity to just present Commissioner Gordon as a total badass, is that he just stands outside smoking or whatever. Or, like, I don't know, probably chewing nicotine gum.
That's good.
Well, it's like, no, he's, like, We've established Commissioner Gordon already has tried to quit, is trying to quit smoking. And then, like, after this, he goes outside and he lights a cigarette and he just stands there.
That's
and
great.
Waits for Batman to show up.
And that could be from Commissioner's point of view. And then someone's like, what are you doing? And he's like, waiting for a friend or someone who might be a friend. He has the perfect voice for really ambiguous, vague, cool statements like that. And then we get Batman's perspective, and it's like, Master Bruce, you're still not home. What are you doing? He's like, there's been this cop standing here for 3 hours. I think he knows I'm here.
Yeah.
Or he knows that someone's here. And then he comes out of the shadows, and then he talks to Gordon, and then Gordon's like, it's about time. And then they investigate, like, alone.
Exactly.
And then Gordon calls some cops he trusts, because I think that was in the trailer.
Yep. Like, other cops are seeing Batman. Other cops are there, and they see Batman.
Batman and Gordon are the mirror image of Selina Kyle and Oswald. They are the going above and beyond the extra mile. And Batman's a billionaire, and Commissioner Gordon's an average run-of-the-mill guy. Ah, yeah. This is so good.
This is pretty great.
Okay, so that is the first sort of pinch point. That's not the inciting incident. The inciting incident is the body showing up and someone making the... that is kind of the inciting incident, is Gordon deciding, I'm getting Batman involved.
Yeah.
That's good.
Understanding that, like, there is this calling card for Batman at the scene.
That's really good.
I feel like then potentially at the first scene, it can be for Commissioner Gordon. All of this information, like, condemning this guy as a polluter and as, like, somebody who was untouchable because he was a Gotham insider.
Yeah.
It's like to Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah, he leaves behind a riddle that the cops can't solve. Batman does. He finds out what the letter that was for Commissioner Gordon, the riddle was for me. The Riddler has figured out that was what Gordon was going to do. He was going to go to Batman. He was going to leave it in the hands of Batman. And then Batman finds, you know, solves the riddle alone in his cave. And it leads him to some dark web something or other that is just like a chat room where he talks to the Riddler face to face. But they can't actually figure out where each other are. And there's, you know, filters on the voice and the image.
Yeah. So and he's wearing his tape head mask.
Oh, that's so good. This is so cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's very much a dark, gritty Batman. And we'll hire somebody to score it. So it's horrifying.
And that's the first pinch point, is Batman talking to the Riddler. And then him being like, you're involved in this. I'll show you how. And he's like, what? And that should be... The problem is, a pinch point, to my understanding, a pinch point is, the first one, an opportunity for your protagonist to conclude their character arc, and they don't even notice it. The second one is usually the midpoint. The pinch point is the second opportunity for your protagonist to conclude their internal character arc, and they try and they fail. And then the third pinch point is, like, them succeeding that leads to the finale. However, Batman... I was about to say Batman has a flat arc in this movie. He does not.
He does not.
He has a negative arc. He has to resort to working with the clandestine criminal Court of Owls guys.
Because he has concluded in this instance that the Riddler's crimes and actions are worse, or at least require more immediate attention.
Yes. And so that first one is him sort of not noticing. That's kind of stretching it, but he, you know, doesn't notice there are two criminals to stop here, not just one.
Yeah.
So that's the first pinch point. He's like, you're involved in this. You know, the Riddler reveals there is a secret organization that controls Gotham, and Batman's like, just tell me who it is. And he's like, no, you won't stop them. And he's like, I promise I will, right after I stop you, kind of thing. And he's like, no, you're not ready. And then the Riddler hangs up on him, and he's like, there's gonna be a second body, Alfred, and I can't do anything about it. And then there's a second body.
And there's a second body, and Commissioner Gordon and Batman start working together.
And to keep it from getting monotonous, the second body, it can't be just the same deal, the police find it again. It has to be escalation. We have to get a feel that we're getting closer to things. So maybe the Riddler, or someone the Riddler paid to do it, is almost caught, or even caught. You know, like how Harvey Dent catches the psychopath Schiff.
Oh, I thought you were going to say how John Doe turns himself in Seven. Because we have not referenced Seven in a while. And Seven is a noteworthy influence here.
That, just like, we can steal that plot point later. That can be like the second kind of pinch point.
Yeah, that's great.
Is the Riddler just straight up turns himself in.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, like, we talked about it. Like, we're thinking of having Edward be a forensic tech.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
So, okay, first pinch point, decided Batman and Edward have that face-to-face over the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Second,
I think that if you the feeling that we're getting closer to things, I think that can come from the Riddler live streams this crime.
Oh gosh,
like, it's a revelation. It's like he's in contact with the media.
I really hate that viscerally, but that's really good.
Yeah, the Riddler is allowing this to be seen by people, and he's like he's basically saying it's like as expected. The police and Batman aren't ready to confront the problem.
That's really
good.
But
I am.
Here's what. On the live stream, he can make that guy confess. You know, it's a horror movie. He can make the guy confess that the Court of Owls is real. And, like, where the committee is having a meeting, like, right now. And he's like, you can stop this, Batman, Gordon. You can save Gotham from the real villains. But they're like, we don't negotiate with psychopaths. And then they go after where... They're not caring about the address they gave them. Mm-hmm. They, like, Gordon sends a single squad car there, and then he's like, we're sending all of our forces to this address Batman just sent me. This is where the Riddler is streaming from. And so they're like, he's on the other side of town, or he's very far away, so we're going after him instead. A single squad car goes to the supposed Court of Owls location. They run, and they almost catch the Riddler, or maybe they forgot to account for VPNs. And, like, he's not even there. But the idea is there's an escalation because, like, this wasn't just a body we stumbled on. We chased him for the first time. And the midpoint is that second pinch point. We didn't go after the Court of Owls. We went after the Riddler. And we need to stop talking because we're already probably a little over time.
Yeah.
And this is already going to be a pretty long episode considering the movie's 3 hours.
Indeed.
And we're going to take a break. But I don't think there's actually anything for us to come up with during the break. Normally we come up with the title and how it is symbolic of the movie, but that's already decided.
Yeah, and we name a bunch of characters and stuff like that, but again.
They already have names.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. And we're back. Normally this section is a lot more scripted. We tell you what we came up with during the break, titles, names, and such. However, we didn't do that this time because everything was decided for us. However, we do have some retroactive notes. We noticed Selina Kyle, non-Catwoman, wasn't introduced, and we'd never introduced Oswald in the first half. So we kind of hit two birds with one stone. When the press conference is happening, Bruce...
What press conference, Eric? Just to be clear, after, like, where in the story? Give us some context.
Thank you. When the press conference where Bruce expects there to be the announcement about the guy doing the illegal polluting... When that happens, he's with Oswald Cobblepot because they're both very rich, like that guy who was killed. That's where Bruce is with who we introduced, Oswald Cobblepot. They're either there at the press conference in person or they're at some mansion just chatting and drinking. And...
Well, Bruce, this is my assistant or something, Selina Kyle.
Because we need to introduce her as a non-Catwoman.
Yeah, because Selina Kyle is... usually portrayed either as like a scrappy underdog who comes from nothing and who has kind of clawed her way up, or as like another member of the social elite. I sort of prefer the like self-made person narrative for Catwoman. That like she has gotten ahead in life by looking out for herself without really coming from any kind of money or anything.
Word. Where we left off, the Riddler was streaming himself about to kill a dude who was also part of the secret... Council, the Court of Owls, and we ignore the information that there is this secret elite we could bust immediately. We go after the Riddler, the immediate threat. We get there, and that's the third kill that the Riddler has made.
I'm a little confused. Have Batman and Commissioner Gordon started working together
yet
at this point?
The cops chase off Batman from the first body. That's in the first act. Gordon and the cops and Batman work together in the second body. That's the inciting incident. That's the letter that's for Gordon, but there's a secret riddle that's for Batman. And this is the midpoint. This is the third body. The midpoint is the streaming one. So what is left?
We did sort of establish that we thought it was beneficial for Selina Kyle, Catwoman, to be working for Oswald Cobblepot, the Penguin, especially because they are sort of the opposite reflection, a foil to the relationship between Jim Gordon and Batman.
I zoned out for a second there, not gonna lie, but I had a dope idea. In the trailer, there is a moment where there's a sort of It's sort of like a press conference kind of thing. There's one outdoors, but there was another one that was clearly indoors that seems like it's going to happen later in the movie because tensions were much higher because a car came through and tried to run someone over and there was a bomb strapped to some dude.
Looked like a funeral to me.
Oh, I am going to willfully ignore that.
Fair enough.
Is that all right?
Yeah, because that's fine with me.
It has to be what is basically a second, more serious press conference. We're going to ignore a little bit for the sake of a doper story because that's the one, the second press conference for this third live-streamed body people know. And the guy straight up said there's a secret society called the Court of Owls. Everybody needs to know about it for the greater good. And then there goes up the mayor, or what was the guy credited as an IMDb? Gil Coulson or something like that.
I think it was district attorney.
Yeah, the DA. We'll say the DA gets up there and he says, everybody settle down. And they're like, what about this secret society, blah, 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 blah. And then he's like, that's preposterous. There's no such thing. And there's another lie to everybody. And we'll say Gil Coulson, the DA, is maybe a part of it, or at least knows about it.
As a social elite and everything.
And he's like, it's not real. And Batman is like looking at him and he's like, I'm thinking it's real. He's like, I'm thinking this is real. I'm thinking you're lying to me. But I'll know for sure when you say or do not say the pollution thing. And they're like, what about this rumor about the pollution thing? And he's like, no such thing. And then Batman has that realization. Here comes the third pinch point. Batman has that realization. And he's like, oh my gosh, the Court of Owls is real. And they're the real bad guys. And then, right then, the Riddler drives some dude with a bomb strapped to his chest through the front door. He crashes and he ruins everything. And then Batman decides, right then and there, there's like a timer on the bomb, maybe there's a phone to the Riddler or whatever, but Batman is like, no, I can't bust both guys. That is him deciding. And how does he decide to sort of side with the Court of Owls to catch the Riddler? Because it's a negative arc. He fails to make the right choice in the, you know, philosophical sort of sense.
Then I feel like there's potential if Bruce Wayne, not Batman, is tapped by the Court of Owls as a potential member.
Mm-hmm. That would be pretty good.
Which also creates opportunity for escalation in a next movie. I'm surprised by how frequently escalation comes into play when we talk about Batman.
Yeah, for real.
But I mean, that is part of this. And I feel like today, you don't really understand Batman if you never contend with the fact that he's a rich white dude. Like, the richest white dude. And that, I don't know, maybe that is this element, is that Batman, in this instance, sees the opportunity to defeat the Court of Owls through some other means later, but he has to defeat the Riddler right now. The Riddler is going to continue becoming more and more violent.
That's true.
And quite possibly disrupt the social order in a way that is unacceptable to Batman. But I think that it should kind of leave this lingering question, is like, is it because it's unacceptable to Batman, Paragon of Justice, or is it because it's unacceptable to Bruce Wayne, billionaire?
I got it. So the guy who, you know, with the bomb strap runs through in that press conference sort of area, he's got the thing that I think he had like a walkie-talkie or a phone taped to his hand that said to Batman or to Bruce Wayne or something like that.
Right. I think for our purposes, it works well if it's to Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, and he should take it. And there's, you know, all the doors are locked for somehow. The Riddler has sealed all these people within this building. And then the Riddler on the phone is like, I have you figured out. And now here is the real test. This bomb is going to go off and kill 20, 30, 40 people. But the Court of Owls is also doing something where, like, they're going to kill 100 people or more or something. And he's like, you've got to choose right now, like, do you want to stop me, this immediate evil that's much more viscerally you feel, or the one that you consider objectively greater? And then Batman and, you know, Gil Coulson is right there. Bruce Wayne is like, I'm going to join the Court of Owls, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Tell me how to defuse this bomb. Or basically, he's just, like, lying to himself a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't... Like, the Riddler turned out to be right, but I'm not going to believe him that they're actually doing this one specific thing because there's a bomb here.
And I like that because it this instance becomes like a big trolley problem.
Exactly.
Is that like the decisions that the Court of Owls makes today will lead to tens of thousands languishing in poverty and dying slow deaths, whereas I'm about to blow up 30 people. It's like, obviously, have you not done the math, Bruce? Can you not see that this is the right choice?
Oh, goodness, this is so dark.
It becomes a dark... Yeah, yeah, this is... I like this. I feel like that's a very existential form of horror. I don't know. I just like that. Yay, we did the trolley problem. I'm happy.
We snuck the trolley problem into yet another pitch.
When was our last one?
I don't remember.
Okay.
So that is the sort of third pinch point.
I think that honestly that there is a bit of a darkness and like an earned level of Batman becoming uneasy with himself and his own actions if the way that he handles the bomb situation is why he's tapped by the Court of Owls.
Oh, okay.
Him saying, them choosing him and like him finding someone, him being stopped in a dark alley or something.
Yeah.
A dude in the iconic owl mask saying, we need people like you of proper position, but with the capacity to act.
That's so cool. Yeah. Okay, yeah. And a small plot hole that we should cover up sooner rather than later is the Riddler just straight up says to Batman, and maybe he knows Batman is Bruce Wayne at this point, and we can just sort of say he figures that out just by looking at him. And maybe he tracked him through his IP address or something when he typed in that web address into the Darknet. But the Riddler knows he's talking to Batman Bruce Wayne on the phone there at the press conference.
Yeah, I feel like that's strongest if the Riddler has figured it out over the course of the events of the movie.
Yes.
Like, he did not know this at the beginning. He's caught up to this. He's like, this is added. I have added this.
And then he reveals over the phone that the Court of Owls is planning to do something much more evil, like tomorrow, through Gil Coulson, who will die if this bomb goes off. Do the math, Bruce. And then, you know, he's like, nope. Yep. I am... It's not that I failed to do the... I'm trying and failing to do something. It's that I am intentionally doing something and I succeed. And that's what makes this the third pinch point. I don't negotiate with psychopaths. I'm going to defuse this bomb. And then that is what leads to him being recruited by the Court of Owls.
As a potential
not Batman, member. But Bruce Wayne. And then they give him some sort of info that leads to him finding out where the Riddler is. Like, the Court of Owls figures out where he is, but to act on it, he would get away. And so they're like, you have to do it. And then Bruce Wayne / Batman does that and catches him. And then he has some sort of big reveal. And the big reveal could be that, like, he knows that the Court of Owls killed his parents. And that's the sort of big bomb drop that the Riddler gets in right at the end before the next thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, you didn't do the right thing. You're going to stop. And he's like, I'm going to stop them next. Okay, so... For the sake of entertainment, he's got to take the Batmobile to stop the Riddler. And, you know, it's just like a really cool, it's not just like a go and get him kind of thing. The Riddler does try to get away, and then there's like havoc in the streets. And then while that whole fiasco is playing out, Batman rams people off the road. It's a spectacle. There's fire. It's really cool.
Right.
Gunfire, pulling out all the stops. And then he runs him off the road. The Riddler has no legs or something because it's a dark movie.
Yeah.
And he's like, gosh, you did the wrong thing. You're awful. And he's like, no, all I did today was stop a criminal psychopath. And he's like, look around you. Look at all the chaos you caused. How much awful stuff do you think the Court of Owls can get away with while you're distracting everybody like this? And he's like, shut up. He's like, you said I was involved. What do you mean? And he's like, they killed your parents. And he's like, then I guess I'm going after them next. And he puts on sunglasses. This is really cool. That's a bit melodramatic and on the nose, but the delivery can just be a little different. And it's
yes, but the conceptually, it tracks. It all moves seamlessly. You have condoned an evil that you sought to stop. And you've discovered that, like, the exact thing that led you to become this person.
Exactly.
You've joined the people who are responsible.
Exactly.
That's poetic. That's great. And now all I feel is that we need to flesh out in the denouement. We need to flesh out, like, Commissioner Gordon opposite Batman, and we need to backtrack a little bit and flesh out Cobblepot and Kyle.
Okay. Just one quick note. Instead of Gil Coulson or whoever delivering the press conference, it should be Oswald. To wrap that up, that's why he got chosen for... He was the bait. That's better.
Right. I do like that Coulson is also one of the targets, though. Because it's like... Coulson's important. Coulson's a member. Coulson can be the one who taps him. We don't need to, like, explicitly state it, but it's... But it, like... He's wearing the mask, but... Maybe it's Batman, so Batman spots a detail that says, like, that's Coulson.
Tight. Yeah, denouement stuff. Selina Kyle should come up again.
Yes, I think Selina... I think something that works well is if Selina has this redemptive moment that is just tinged with an action that is in line with who we know she already is. Like, she helps save Batman. She helps Batman catch the Riddler, but she lifts something off of the Riddler and gives it to Cobblepot for money.
I'm getting a little too obsessed with the fact that it's a dark and gritty, awful, scary movie. When just because Batman has a negative arc doesn't mean everybody should. So Selina representing the average run-of-the-mill citizen, her ending up choosing to do something. Well, symbolically, it doesn't match up too well, but that is good too. We're at a fork in the road.
I don't know. I think that part of the reason Batman has a negative arc in this movie is because he feels he has to do everything on his own, and that presenting the possibility of leaning on other people like Selina and the Commissioner are sort of his way to rise again in the next installment.
Yeah. Okay. Retroactive. I figured it out.
You figured it out.
What the Riddler can do is give Batman some sort of ultimatum when he's chasing him of, like, I have even strapped myself up with some sort of device where if you make too much of a move, I will die, you know? And the reason he gives him that sort of ultimatum is, I understand how you want to stop the more immediate evil rather than the greater evil, but your stupid, like, dogma rule of I will never kill will stop you from stopping anyone. And Batman's like, no, I'll find a way. And then Selina just murks him.
Yeah, okay. I like that. See, it's not an objection to Batman, but if you're familiar with Batman, I like some of his counterparts, like Red Hood, who have, like, these more pragmatic philosophies. It's that, like, we should almost never kill. We should not kill. But there are these instances where it's like you have to be... Where your strength is your weakness. The fact that you're strong enough to never do the easy thing causes more pain and suffering in the long haul. And that where... So you've got this example of Catwoman going like, that's it, I'm fucking killing this guy.
Exactly.
I'm sorry I said the F word.
You should be. We're trying to get better about that. But this episode's going to be explicit anyway.
Yeah, This is
dark stuff. And the denouement past that, I could not care Cobblepot, but Gordon... It's essentially the end of Batman Begins where they're on the rooftop and then he talks about escalation, and then we set up the Court of Owls in their desperation to stop Batman turn to a man they don't quite understand, Bane. I think Bane would be more appropriate for citywide chaos.
That's true.
From a more political standpoint rather than the Joker.
Well, I mean, the Court of Owls has its own metahuman assassin, the Talon.
Yep.
But at the same time, there's more than one way to skin a Batman.
Then again, we're not talking about the sequel.
We're not.
We're not talking about the Batman 2. We did our job.
Yet.
That would be fun. That would be fun.
And we got to sneak that one in before the actual movie comes. Or, you know what? We can sneak that in after the movie comes out.
They would be very different they would be very different episodes. But
fair enough.
Regardless, talking about all that, that's a hypothetical sequel to a hypothetical movie. So we don't want to get too deep.
I know.
So I think that the potential for the Batman has been tapped. What about you?
I'm inclined to agree. I can see it now. It'd be great. I'm very happy with this one. That was also just a fun time.
Cool.
The end?
The end.
Thanks for listening to this episode of StoryTap. If you enjoyed, make sure to leave a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on Twitter at StoryTap Podcast. It helps a ton. And thanks again.